ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، so we finished, alhamdulillah, the second or the first principle of the first question that will be asked in the grave, and that is the question, man rabbuk, who is your Lord? And he explained that Allah is our Lord, and that Allah Ta'ala is the ma'bud, he is the one who deserves, or he's the one who should be worshipped. And then that we explained that even the kuffar of Mecca and the kuffar of today, a lot of them, they accept Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, they accept that Allah is the Rabb. So the question in the grave, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? In reality is talking about who is the one you worship, who is your Ma'bud, who is the one you worship. We brought the numerous proofs for that, amongst which the ayah, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, O mankind, worship your Lord. So he's talking about the one who is worshipped in this life. And then we explained how the various different types of worship should be directed solely for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and that anyone who directs worship to other than Allah, then he's committed shirk, he has negated his very purpose of life. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created the jinn of mankind except to worship me alone. So if a person worships other than Allah, he's negated his very purpose of life, which is to worship Allah alone. Likewise, he's negated the statement of Allah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, O mankind, worship your Lord. So with that, we begin with the second asl, al-aslu thani, the second principle, the second fundamental principle, ma'rifatu deen al-islam bil-adillah, and that is the knowledge of the religion of Islam, the deen of Islam, with its adillah, with its proof. The Shaykh says, وَهُوَ الْإِسْتِسْلَامُ لِلَّهِ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ وَالْإِنْقِيَادُ لَهُ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ, that Islam is to submit to Allah with Tawheed, by actualizing the oneness of Allah, actualizing the Tawheed of Allah. وَالْإِنْقِيَادُ لَهُ بِالطَّاعَةِ, and to submit to Allah and to yield obediently towards Him. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ, and he defines Islam to also be disassociating oneself from shirk and the people of shirk. Islam has two meanings, or is used in two contexts. It has a general meaning and a specific meaning. The general meaning is that which all the prophets and messengers came with. They all came with Islam. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ, that indeed we sent down to every nation a messenger proclaiming worship Allah alone and keep away from all false deities, Tawhut. That's the general meaning. The Islam that all the various prophets and messengers came with, this is a general Islam. The specific Islam is that which was sent down to the last and final messenger, the messenger sent down to the whole of mankind, Abu al-Qasim Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So he said that it is to submit to Allah with Tawheed, to actualize the oneness of Allah, and this was the whole of the first, or most of the first principle that we mentioned. And to yield obediently to Him. How does one yield obediently to Allah? By following His commandments, and by keeping away from His prohibitions, and by following the commandments of His Messenger, and by keeping away from the prohibitions of His Messenger. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ. And we talked about this last night. Keeping away and disassociating oneself from shirk, polytheism, and the people of shirk. How is it possible that a person could associate himself with a people who have denied the very purpose of their existence, with a people who have denied that Allah Ta'ala is their ma'bud, is the one that they should be worshipping? It's not possible for a Muslim to do that. And this was covered in the second set of masail, or the second set of matters, the three matters that the Shaykh mentions. وَهُوَ ثَلَاثُ مَرَاتِبٍ. And Islam is of three different levels. الْإِسْلَامُ وَالْإِيمَانُ وَالْإِحْسَانُ. It's of three different levels. Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. So Islam, the general category here, is further broken down. I say further because it's general in this sense, but it's specific in the sense I mentioned earlier. So the Islam that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, the specific Islam from that context, it has three levels to it. It has Islam, and that is now an even more specific Islam. It has Iman, and it has Ihsan. And then he says, وَكُلُّ مَرْتَبَةٍ لَهَا أَرْكَانٍ. And every one of these levels has pillars. Islam has pillars, Iman has pillars, and likewise Ihsan has pillars. فَأَرْكَانُ الْإِسْلَامِ خَمْسَ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءُ الزَّكَاةِ وَصَوْمُ رَمَضَانَ وَحَجُّ بَيْتِ اللَّهِ الْحَرَامِ. So he mentions the five pillars of Islam. He says the pillars of Islam are five. The shahada, the bearing witness, the declaration that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah alone. To establish the prayer, إِقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ, to establish the prayer. To pay the zakah, the charity, the compulsory charity, and to perform the hajj or the pilgrimage to the house of Allah, the al-haram or the sacred house of Allah. So he's mentioned the five pillars of Islam, and inshallah everybody knows that. And this comes from a number of evidences, and inshallah he'll mention that now. So he says, فَدَلِيلُ الشَّهَادَةِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. The evidence of this declaration of faith is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah bears witness that none has the right to be worshipped except for Him, and so do the angels, And so did the people of knowledge. He who maintains justice, none has the right to be worshipped but him. He is the Almighty and the All-Wise. This is quite an interesting, there's some interesting points from this explanation or this, of what the Shaykh just written and the Dalil he's quoted. The evidence that he's quoted is actually from the Quran. And I find that when a person gives evidence from the Qur'an, he finds that, or one will find if he gives evidence from the Qur'an, the masses will accept this evidence more than if one gives evidence from hadith, or from the statements of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when a person is in da'wah, he should strive, as we mentioned earlier, to bring all the possible evidences and to make it easy for the person that he is giving da'wah to, that he is calling to make it easy for him to accept the truth of Islam. And this comes from having wisdom. So the Shaykh, he mentioned, if you notice throughout the book, he mentioned ayat of the Quran and then he supplements them here and there with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the book of Allah is the burhan. It is guidance. It is the furqan, or the criterion between right and wrong. It is hudan linnas. It is the guidance for mankind. La rayba fi. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. It is a book in which there's no doubt. So what a better, you know, it is the book which is the best speech. The وخير الكلام كتاب الله, and the best speech is the book of Allah, as the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, or كما قال. So he brings an evidence that Allah Ta'ala bears witness, Allah Himself, from above the seven heavens. Look at the weight of this statement. That Allah, Rabbul Alameen Himself, from above the seven heavens, has bore witness to the fact that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah. And likewise, do the angels. The angels do this as well. They bear witness that La Ilaha Illallah. وَأُولُ الْعِلْمِ, and so do the people of knowledge. And this وَأُولُ الْعِلْمِ, it shows a position for the people of knowledge in Islam, in the sight of Allah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in a hadith, just paraphrasing it, that the difference between a worshipper, an abd of Allah, a worshipper of Allah, and a scholar, an alim, is the difference between me and you. And that is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking to the companions. This is the difference. It shows that to seek knowledge is a huge thing. And this is why at the beginning of this risala, of the beginning of this treatise, the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he quotes Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, saying بابنا العلم قبل القول والعمل. He said that Imam Bukhari headed a whole chapter in his Sahih, in his book Sahih Bukhari, the chapter that knowledge comes before statement and action. والدليل قوله تعالى فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله واستغفر لذنبك فبدأ بالعلم قبل القول والعمل. So Bukhari says, and the evidence is a statement of Allah. Know that La ilaha illallah and seek forgiveness for your sins. So he began with knowledge before statement and action. So the people of knowledge also bear witness that La ilaha illallah. And Allah is the one who maintains justice. La ilaha illahu al-aziz al-hakim. None has the right to be worshipped except for him, he is Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, the most mighty and the all-wise. So this Shahada has conditions attached to it. Wahab ibn Munabbah, he was asked, he was one of the Tabi'een. He's one of the Tabi'een. He was one of the students of the Sahaba. He's a second generation of Islam. And he mentioned, when he was asked, is it true that La ilaha illallah are the keys to paradise? These words, La ilaha illallah, they are the keys to paradise. He said, na'am. He said, yes. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. Hadith, that La ilaha illallah is the keys to paradise. So Wahab ibn Munabbah, he said, yes. But just like every key has notches and grooves, and if you don't have the right key or the right the notches and grooves in the right place, then the door will not open. In the same way, if you don't have the conditions of La ilaha illallah, the notches and grooves for this key, the doors of paradise will not open. So what are the keys? What are the conditions, these notches, that one has to fulfill before one gets the right key for paradise? Well, the first is to have knowledge. The first condition of La ilaha illallah is knowledge. And the proof of this is a statement of Allah, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So know, have knowledge that La ilaha illallah. Know that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. So have knowledge that La ilaha illallah. This shows that one cannot just say La ilaha illallah not knowing what it means, not knowing what its implications are, and expect to go to paradise. Many of us may have heard, or some of us may have heard of the statement of one of a lecturer, I think in America, who told his students at the beginning of each semester, he would say La ilaha illallah, and they would all say La ilaha illallah, and then he said, okay, you're going to paradise, because he misunderstood the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man qala La ilaha illallah dakhal al jannah, whoever says La ilaha illallah, he will enter paradise. So he took this according to his own understanding, not understanding this the way that the Sahaba and the people, the scholars in the early generations of Islam, understood it. The way they understood it is by looking at all the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah, and then showing that these are certain conditions of La ilaha illallah. So one has to know what is La ilaha illallah, and what does it mean? What are its implications? This is the first thing. The second condition of La ilaha illallah is to have what is known as yaqeen, certainty. Certainty. One should have no doubt that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. One should have full yaqeen. One should have full yaqeen in this statement, the truth of this statement, the reality of this statement. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, No one meets Allah with the testimony that La ilaha illallah and that I am the messenger of Allah, except that he will enter paradise. So when a person has this certainty, then there is no doubt, inshallah, that he will enter paradise. The third condition is al-ikhlas, or purity of intention. فَعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. Allah says, so worship Allah, having ikhlas, or purity, in your intention, in the religion. One should not intend to marry someone, so therefore they become Muslim or anything of those of that nature. Rather, one intends the reality, and this leads to the next condition, which is to have sidq, to have truthfulness. That none has the right. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "None bears witness that La ilaha illallah sincerely from his heart, except that Allah makes a hellfire forbidden for him." So he has to say this in truthfulness. Sidq. The fifth condition is mahabba, or love, for the testimony. Allah says in the Quran, and those who believe are stauncher in their love of Allah. And then we have inqiyad. Which means to submit and to comply. Submit and to comply. Submission and compliance. Allah says, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. We came across this ayah earlier on this morning. And turn to Allah in repentance, وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. And submit to Him. And finally, قَبُول. Acceptance. So these are the seven conditions of La ilaha illallah. The proof for acceptance, one proof is وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. That it is not for believing man or believing woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, to have any option in their decision. They have to accept. They have to accept. See the seven conditions of La ilaha illallah, of the Shahada. Then the Shaykh Muhammad continues, وَمَعْنَاهَا لَا مَعْبُودَ بِحَقٍّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And the meaning of La ilaha illallah is that none has the right, or none, there is no ma'bud except for Allah. There is no ma'bud. There is nothing that is worshipped or should be worshipped except for Allah. No true deity except for Allah. La ilaha nafiyan jami'a ma yu'bad min dunillah. And la ilaha negates all that is worshipped except Allah. Sorry, La ilaha negates all that is worshipped. It's saying there's no deity. Illallah muthbitan al-ibadata lillahi wahdahu. And illallah, the second part of the testimony, affirms ibadah for Allah alone. So we have an-nafi wal-ithbat. The testimony has two parts to it. It has an affirmation, a negation, an-nafi. It's known as an-nafi in the Arabic language. A negation. Negation of what? Negation that anything is an ilah. A true ilah. Ilah meaning deity, something that's worshipped. And then you have isbat, an affirmation. Illallah, except Allah. This is what the Shaykh is mentioning here. لا شريك له في عبادته كما أنه لا شريك له في ملكه. He doesn't have a partner in his worship, just like he doesn't have a partner in his mulk or his dominion and sovereignty. Again, the Shaykh is connecting rububiyya to uluhiyya. Just like Allah is the one who owns everything, he's the one who is the Rabb. In the same way, he's the ma'bud. In the same way, he is the ilah ul-haq. He's the one who is to be worshipped, the true deity. وتفسيرها الذي يوضحها قوله تعالى. And his explanation, which will make it clear, is a statement of Allah Ta'ala. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ وَجَعْلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي عَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And remember when Ibrahim said to his father and his people, I am totally free from everything that you worship except for the one who created me. Except for the one who created me. So again, what Ibrahim alayhi salam said, he says, I am totally free from everything that you worship. That is a negation. It's like la ilaha. It's a negation. He's free from everything that is worshipped. إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Except for the one who created me. Except for the one who created me. Illallah, except Allah. So this is why the Shaykh said this is an explanation which will make clear the statement La ilaha illallah. Because La ilaha, there's no deity has the right to be worshipped. Illallah, except Allah. A negation followed by an affirmation. It's what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said. I am free. إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. I'm free from everything that you worship. إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي, except the one who created me. وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي أَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And Allah made this statement remain in His progeny, so that they may remember and return to the statement, return to worshipping Allah alone. And this kalima, وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً. This kalima, this word that he made remain, it is the kalima La ilaha illallah. The kalima of Tawheed. The statement of La ilaha illallah. Likewise, he said, and also, that which will make it clear, or that which will explain this shahada, La ilaha illallah, is the statement of Allah. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكْ بِهِ أَحَدًا. عفواً. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون. And another explanation of this verse, of this kalima, this statement, La ilaha illallah, is the following verse. Say, O people of the book, come to a word, a kalima, a word of justice between us, that we will single out with all worship and will not worship anything besides Allah. We will single out Allah in all worship and we will not worship anything besides Allah. Nor will we take one another as lords besides Allah. So if they turn away, then say, bear witness that we are Muslims. Surah Al Imran. Now, La ilaha illallah Who could translate what this means? Who can translate this statement? And I'm asking for a translation and not a meaning. Anybody? Anyone from the sisters? No, I wasn't too there. Salim? Okay, the brother said there's no deity or God with a small g except Allah. Good, that is the translation. La, no, or none, or there is none. Ilah, ilah is like a deity. Something that is worshipped, an object of worship. So, I want each of the brothers to give me an example of an ilah, apart from Allah. Money. How will money be an ilah? If a person revolves his whole life around money, he doesn't obey Allah's commands, it becomes an ilah. Yes, sir. Football is our religion nowadays we have. Yes, football has become an ilah. Husni Mubarak. Isa alayhi salam is an ilah. He's become a god, an object of worship. And worship here doesn't necessarily just mean that you prostrate to Allah or you bow down you prostrate to the object of worship. It's just worship in the sense that you give this, you make this thing your life. You revolve your life around it and so on. Inshallah, that should be enough. So there's no ilah, deity, God, object of worship. Except. Illa is except. La ilaha illa. Except. Allah. So this is what it means. Okay, now I'd like someone to give me the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The way it's usually translated is by its meaning, which is, how have I been translating it all along? None, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. So where did this word worthy come from? Where did this word worthy come from? There's no deity. We've added a word here. worthy of being worshipped except for Allah, or true deity. Where did this come from? Well, in the Arabic language, just as in the English language, we have, in the nominal sentence, we can generally, okay, what I'll do is I'll give an example and then I'll try to explain it, inshallah. It comes, I'm going up that hill of trying to explain something in Arabic in English again. So if, for example, we had, if I was to say, there are no boys in this room, or there are no men in this room, for example, hint. If I was to say that, there's a word missing in that sentence. Who can tell me what that word is? But it is assumed. It's not actually a correct. If I was to say, there are no men in this room, there is a word that is missing in that sentence for it to be a correct and complete sentence. Okay, what the word is the word present. There are no men present in this room. Okay, there are no men present in this room. This word present is assumed in the English language. It's something that is assumed. It's not actually spoken, or it's not said when I say this. So this type of word is like a khabar, or I don't know what you call it in English. Predicate, is it? Basically, the news about the subject of the sentence, the predicate, is hidden in that sentence. It's not actually spoken. So the thing about the men, there are no men in this room. The men this word men is a subject. This word men is the subject of that sentence. And the predicate is the fact is that they're not present. They're not present in this room. The word present is taken out because it's assumed in the English language. When one says there are no men in this room, it means there are no men present in this room. In the Arabic language, likewise, same thing. Generally speaking, if a person misses out this khabar in this type of sentence, then it should be assumed that the word mawjood, the word present, is the word or the khabar, or the predicate of the sentence, the description of the subject. Except if there's an evidence to say otherwise from an external source. So now, if I said, that there are 10 men in this room, all of them went to sleep, there were no men left. There were none left. I wouldn't, in the last sentence, when I say there are no men left in this room, I wouldn't actually mean there are no men present left in this room. Because the sentence before it, I just said there are 10 men present in this room. But they all fell asleep. So there are no men left in this room. In the last sentence, the word that is hidden is no longer the word present. The word that is hidden in this case is the word awake. Barakallahu feek. There are no men awake in this room. So the general rule is that the word present is to be assumed unless there's a text or an external evidence to show that this word present is not what is being meant, but it is the word awake or any other word. In the same way, is that clear so far? Exactly, Sayyid. In the same way in Arabic language, the word mawjood is assumed except if a text, an external source, an external text from outside of this sentence tells us otherwise. What would be the implications if this word would be mawjood? La ilaha mawjood illallah. That there is no ilah present except for Allah. There's no ilah that exists except for Allah. There's no deity or God or object of worship which exists except for Allah. Would this be a correct statement to make or not? No. Why not? Because there are other objects of worship. We just have to open our eyes. We'll see people worshipping Isa alayhi salam. The brothers just mentioned two or three different objects of worship, two or three different ilahs. So the word in question is not La ilaha mawjood illallah. It cannot be. It must be another word. So we have to look at the text, the Quran and the Sunnah, to find what is this missing, hidden word. Mahzuf. I can't remember the word for it in English. But in Arabic the word is mahzuf. The word that is hidden is known as mahzuf. The hidden word in this sentence. So what is this hidden word? If we look at this, the two ayat of the Quran that Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab explained, or he said that they explained this kalima, the first of them is وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ. And when Ibrahim said to his father and his people, إِنَّنِ بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. Indeed, I am free from everything that you worship. إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Except for the one who created me. So this shows that he freed himself from any other worship besides the worship of Allah. So he only worshipped Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he recognized that only Allah is the true deity. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. That is because Allah is the Haqq, is the true deity, the true, the Haqq, the truth. And everything that is worshipped in the same ayah, everything that is worshipped besides Allah, huwa al-batil, it is batil, rejected. So they are false deities, they're not true deities, they're not worthy of being worshipped. Is that clear? And there's numerous evidences from the Qur'an and the Sunnah to prove that this word, the mahzuf, is the word worthy. And from them, the obvious reality is that you only have to open your eyes and you know that objects of worship do exist, other objects of worship. Now this is why Ibn Arabi, Muhyiddin Ibn Arabi, many scholars said that he was a disbeliever, they made takfir of him. And Wahiddin ibn Arabi, he opened his cloak and he said, everything inside here, he was a mystic Sufi by the way, everything inside here is Allah. Because he realized, or he believed, that there is nothing present except Allah. There is no ilah present except Allah. And since everything is worshipped in some form or fashion, everything must be ilah. So therefore he said, there is no difference between dog and pig. The kalb and the khanzir. There's no difference between them. Both are to be worshipped by man. Because he believed that there's no ilah mawjood except Allah. So all of these four deities, because they're being worshipped, they are Allah. So this is the kind of belief that it leads to if a person doesn't understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah. In fact, if it was so simple that La ilaha illallah just meant there's no deity present except for Allah, then the mushrikun of Makkah, they would have no problem. They would not have no... I mean, why would they have a problem? All these deities, they're all Allah. But no, they said, shall we leave all of our gods for His one God? This is what they said. Because the mushrikeen of Makkah understood that La ilaha illallah means to leave all deities which are not worthy of worship for the one God, one deity who is worthy of worship, and that is Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen. Is that clear, inshallah? Great. Then the Shaykh continues. وَدَلِيلُ شَهَادَةِ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. An evidence that the evidence for the testification that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah is the statement of Allah the Most High, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ حَرِيثٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. That indeed there has come to you a messenger from amongst yourselves. It grieves him that you should suffer. He is eager and anxious over you, yani that you should be guided, and he is full of compassion and mercy for the believers. So he's now giving evidence for the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Now notice the methodology of the Shaykh here. First he proves that Allah is the Lord, and then he brings evidences to show Allah is the Lord, and then he proves that the one who is the Lord, he is the one who has right to worship, and then he explains that all the various different types of worship should be directed to Allah, and he said anyone who does other than this is a mushrik or a disbeliever, polytheist. And then he talks about the shahada, and now he's talking about the second part of the shahada. So it's very systematic approach, explaining to the people the fundamentals of their religion. So he explains, وَمَعْنَا شَهَادَةِ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And the meaning of this testification that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, طَاعَتُهُ فِي مَا أَمَرْ وَتَصْدِيقُهُ فِي مَا أَخْبَرْ وَاجْتِنَابُ مَا نَهَا عَنْهُ وَزَجَرْ وَلَّا يُؤْبَدَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِمَا شَرَعْ. The meaning of the testification that Muhammad is messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is obeying him in what he commanded, keeping away from that, to believe and testify to the truth of everything that he, of all the news that he informs us of. To avoid and keep away from all that he has prohibited, and that you worship Allah only with that which he prescribed. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. And whatever the messenger gives you, then take it. Take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever he prohibits you from, then leave it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. And have taqwa of Allah. Fear Allah, O people. إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Indeed Allah is severe and firm in punishment. So one has to obey the commandments of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to believe what he says, both about the past, both about the present, and what is going to happen in the future. Many people deny the azabul qabr, or the fitan of the qabr, the test and punishments of the grave, even though these are mentioned in authentic hadith. Many people deny the Akhirah, the hereafter, even though this is not just in the Quran, but in the Hadith as well. You have to believe that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. You have to worship Allah with that which He prescribed. You can't make Fajr prayer 4 rak'ahs, thinking that, okay, 4 is better than 2, no. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ Whoever introduces into this affair of ours, that which is not in it, it will be rejected. So we have to worship the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way. Worship. We have to worship Allah the way the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to. And then the Shaykh brings evidences for the rest of the pillars of Islam. وَدَلِيلُ الصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَتَفْسِيرُ التَّوْحِيدِ قَوْلِهُ تَعَالَى وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ And the evidence for the prayer and the zakah, and also it's an explanation of tawheed, is the saying of Allah the Most High, and we were not commanded except, and they were not commanded except that they should worship Allah alone, making their worship and obedience purely for Him, upon the true religion and free from shirk, and that they should establish the prayer and pay the zakah. Over 80 times Allah says in the Quran, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ The last thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about, one of the last few words that he said before he died, as-salah, as-salah, the prayer, safeguard the prayer, people. And then the zakah, one should pay 2.5% of his savings above a certain amount on certain things to charity every year. And then, وَدَلِيلُ الصِّيَامِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى And evidence for fasting is the statement of Allah the Most High. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ O you who believe, fasting is prescribed as an obligation to you, as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may attain taqwa and be of those who have fear of Allah. Fasting is in the month of Ramadan. And one has to abstain from food, from drink, and sexual relationships with one's spouse during the daylight hours of the month of Ramadan. وَدَلِيلُ الْحَجِّ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى And evidence for Hajj is a statement of Allah the Most High. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ And to Allah as a right, لام الاستحقاق, the lam, the letter lam here, لله, before the word Allah, لله, is signifying or signifies that it is a right to Allah. So for Allah, as a right to Allah, upon mankind is the pilgrimage to the house of Allah. Whoever is able to make the journey there. And whoever disbelieves or rejects this obligation of Hajj, then Allah is in no need of the Alameen. Allah is in no need of the world and the creation. This Hajj, it incorporates all acts of Iman. The Talbiyah, لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك That here I am, my Lord, here I am. Here I am, there is no, none has the right to be, there is no partner that you have. Here I am. Indeed, all hamd, all praise. وَالنِّعْمَ And like blessings and barakah, ni'mah, belong to you, and also the dominion, the mulk. لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ There is no, you don't have any partner. This is an act of the tongue. Walking from the various places, making tawaf, circumambulating the Kaaba, making tawaf between Safa and Marwa, Sa'i, also known as Sa'i, walking between Safa and Marwa. These are all acts of the limbs. And then you have the awe of Allah, the fear of Allah, the hope in Allah's mercy in Arafat. When the plain of Arafat is filled with the people, Muslims, crying in front of their Lord, hoping for forgiveness, with the desert heat blaring from the sun above them. Those of you who have been on Hajj, you should know what I'm talking about. It incorporates all different types of acts of worship. This is why it is so important to go there, to make Hajj, to renew one's covenant with Allah Jalla wa Ala. So inshallah we'll finish here. I was going to try to incorporate the concept of Iman and Ihsan, the other two levels of Islam, in this lecture, but I was unable to do that. It's getting a bit long. So inshallah we'll have a little break till about 4:30. We'll discuss that, have another break, and then we'll have the final lecture on the third asl, or the third foundation or fundamental principle. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. I ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to allow me and to allow you to have benefited from these lectures, and to continue to allow us to get benefit from knowledge, and give us more ilmun nafi', beneficial knowledge, so that we can act upon it, give da'wah to it, and be patient upon it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah we'll resume about 4:30.